And we will talk about his great new book called Perfecting Your Pitch, but also about his life in sports, which has taken so many different turns, and his life as a baseball agent. And it is free agent time, Ron.
Well, I have no free agents. the emphasis is elsewhere, as we'll discuss. But the bottom line is, when we get to this season, we get to wondering about, is it the business of baseball or is it the sport of baseball? And that's something that I had to grapple with throughout my career.
It's a fine line, and I think there is a big group of fans. And it's hard to deny this. If you go on ESPN.com or all the websites, MLBTradeRumors.com, that are just solely devoted to the business side of baseball. It's unlike the other sports. I think fans in football and basketball kind of get tired of the negotiations. In baseball, people seem involved in what's going to happen to Robinson Cano.
It's much more open-ended. You know, here's a sport without a salary cap. And
right.
Once that happens, it goes to a marketplace and it allows the fans to engage in all kinds of conjecture about what's going to happen, because anything can happen, much more so than in the other sports. Although free agency still plays a major role in them.
Before we go any further, congratulations to both your family and your son, Mark, who is, of course, the president of the Cleveland Indians, and their fine season returning to the playoffs. I know that meant a lot to you guys. And if it can't be here in Baltimore, it may as well be a Baltimorean somewhere else.
Well, you know, I think about Mark. Years ago, he said, "Dad, I want to be an agent." I said, "That's the last thing you want to be." He followed the right path, and he obviously was a great general manager, and now he's leading a whole baseball organization and doing it well.
How awkward was it to represent ball players and to have your son running another club?
Well, you know, some of my best friends are lawyers who were on the other side of a case. And when we dealt with the Cleveland Indians, my partner Michael Moss would frequently take over the direct negotiation. I had to get clearance, by the way, from the Players Association and my clients, but I was never turned down. And the bottom line, it wasn't awkward because hopefully Mark practiced the power of nice, an early book I wrote, and I did as well.
It's funny, I'm not going to mention the name, but a baseball agent out west I am friends with who I talked to today, and I told him I was having you on in studio. He goes, "That guy's a legend. I'm reading his first book right now." And this is a young guy 3,000 miles away. So your legend and your presence goes far and wide.
Well, I may be a legend in his mind, but not in my mind, let me tell you that. But it's great to have had the opportunity, from Brooks Robinson to the present, Joe Mauer, to work with all of the people I've worked with, and they're the legends, and all they did was to enhance my reputation.
Yeah, you're not the kind of agent who finds his way into the limelight like some throughout all the sports. When you see a Drew Rosenhaus always in front of the camera whenever it's draft day, does that make you cringe a little bit?
Well, it makes me cringe from the standpoint of negotiation, because one thing I've always said is you want to be out of the limelight in the negotiation. You don't want to be negotiating with the press and the team and the player and all these different elements. You want to keep it private. That's the way negotiations are going to be most successful. But Drew plays his game, and he plays it hard. We read about his successes, but there have been an awful lot of setbacks for his players, too. And I just don't want to have that kind of blood on my hands. You can't succeed all the time, but you got to do the best you can under the right circumstances, because what in the final analysis is your role? To help the player achieve his goals.
It's funny. I always think with Rosenhaus, and it's a different game in football, and with the Scott Boras, I'm not going to put you in an awkward spot here up against a colleague in the business, I should say, with Mr. Boras, but I always feel that there's always a game of Russian roulette going on, and it's not the player dictating the terms to the agent. Am I wrong with that? Sometimes I feel when if you sign up for Scott Boras, he's telling you what you're going to do, and that's the bottom line.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Certainly much more than Scott Boras than Ron Shapiro in terms of how you approach it. My job is to find out what my player really wants. Does he want to be part of an organization for the rest of his life? Cal Ripken, Joe Mauer. Does he want to be on a team that has the potential to be successful? Or does he want the money? Certainly a Scott will direct them towards the money bags wherever it may take them. I'm not sure that's the best result. And what's really interesting, Brett, is I've had to negotiate the hardest contracts of all because my players don't leave. So I've had to negotiate where I've had to use all the principles of negotiation to get them what they want, and not the threat of being a New York Yankee or the threat of being something else.
Obviously, the Orioles and Roland Heeman's in the room. He goes, well, we know Cal's not going to wear pinstripes.
Yeah. So how am
I? How do you get the most money when he knows he's not going to wear pinstripes?
And I practice what I preach. I use a methodology of negotiation that puts a lot of preparation to work and a lot of probing and listening to what other people are saying. And ultimately, I get what that player wants. That's still my job, but it is more challenging.
Ron, has the marketplace in baseball changed since free agency began a lot? Forget the dollars. They're always going to go up, it seems, with the revenue of the sport. But has the marketplace changed where teams are either more risky or less risky? And do you see it going in a different direction?
I don't see a different direction, but it has changed tremendously. And don't forget the dollars, okay? When I negotiated my first baseball contract, it was whether Brooks Robinson got $80,000 or $100,000, okay? Now it's $80 million or $200 million.
Right.
So that is a big change. But yeah, it's changed. I mean, teams are destabilized. Weaker market teams like Mark's team in Cleveland, which doesn't have a lot of cash, doesn't have an owner flush with cash, you know, they're going to have a hard time holding on to players. So it changes the nature of the game because the general managers have to be three steps ahead. What are we going to do when CeCe Sabathia goes to the Yankees or in Texas? What are we going to do when Teixeira or Rodriguez takes his next step? So it's a much more challenging game. And from the standpoint of the agent, it's a somewhat easier game because if they're willing to play the free agent game and not focus on really what the long-term interest of the players may be by staying with the team, it's, you know, they get a much easier leverage point in terms of the marketplace.
Ron Shapiro is with us in studio. We'll talk to him about his book coming up, Perfecting Your Pitch, also his involvement with the Ravens, the Spurs, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and much more about baseball and the developing marketplace when we continue here on Sportsline on BAL.